Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back into the show. Final hour of the program, as you just heard. My name is Bill Ryder. I'm filling in for Jim. It's a thrill to be here. The program, as always, is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Filling in today, clearly. Filling in tomorrow, Twitter Sports Ryder, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. As always, Jim on Twitter at Jim Rome. The website, jimrome.com. The phone number, 1-800-636-8686. Rome at haveatake.com. I'm looking forward in about 15 or 20 minutes to visiting with Phoenix Suns GM James Jones. Talk about the grind. He was with a lot of those LeBron James teams in Miami and Cleveland that made those runs to the finals, some obviously successful. And just that transition from being a player to being the guy that hires and fires and makes decisions for an organization as the head of basketball operations. James will be on the program again about 15, 20 minutes. Fun being here. Great being here. And we just had Reed Forgrave on the show, and he hit on this a little bit. I am a big believer that you've got to be very careful if you are lucky enough to have some success with how you manage it. The only thing I think harder than becoming a massive success in any business, like Jim Rome, for example, is hanging on to and maintaining that success. What's the expression? People rise to their level of incompetence. We were just, the guys and I were just discussing someone we know in common who's done that, and good for that wonderful person. It happens, right? It happens on a regular basis. Daddy gets you a job, or you luck into being roommates with the right person, or your wife or your mom is, you know, super powerful, and you just kind of, you know, ride that, whatever the situation happens to be. But the reality is that some people are so talented, are so overwhelmingly remarkable at what they do, they're not going to rise to their level of incompetence, but they are going to rise to such a level of stature, surrounded by so many sycophants, with so much money, and really in many ways being untethered from the realities of mistake-making because of their individual genius in whatever profession they're in, that what's going to get them is not incompetence, but the wrong path to what they think is success. And I think that is exactly what Kevin Durant is staring down the barrel of, if, as expected, when these finals are over, he hightails it for the New York Knicks. And that's probably where he's going for the last couple months. The Knicks have been the betting favorites offshore in those offshore books. Clippers have closed the gap. I think the Clippers would be as good an organization for Kevin Durant as the New York Knicks would be a disaster. And it's not just Durant. Think about how many people have been attracted to the very things that are going to do them in. For Durant, that is the New York media. That is the antithesis of what he's about. Look, that's not true. I don't like Kevin Durant. I used to like Kevin Durant. I love his genius as a basketball player. I think he's remarkable. But I just don't do well with phonies. I don't have it in me. I like Nick Saban, even though he's treated me like garbage in my interactions with him a few times, because he was honest about it the whole time. Kevin Durant's burner account, you're going to spend your time arguing with people with 23 followers on Twitter? It's a great joke. It's a funny punchline. It leads to ridicule. Cool. All that's funny. It also is insight into someone who is so massively talented and in equal proportion insecure that it's going to impact them as a player. It's why Durant had to go to the Warriors. The Warriors don't need Durant. Durant needed Golden State. And if you were going to design in a laboratory the perfect place to take Kevin Durant and destroy him, to take him and turn him into a villain, unlikable, and a loser, it would be the New York media and that Knicks organization in particular. I mean, this is like a person who hates cold saying to themselves, I think Antarctica is the place I really want to retire. Or like my wife, someone who hates being like really hot, saying, you know what's going to be really cool? I feel like Saudi Arabia in the summertime is probably the move for me. Kevin Durant will get eaten up by his own insecurities in New York City. And the reason I'm talking to you about it is because the most candid guy in the sport, I love Charles Barkley. When I was younger, before I did this job, when Jim Rome first started putting me on some of his various shows, instead of being a radio host and a television host at CBS Sports HQ and an occasional writer, I was a writer. I was a journalist. And the thing about being a journalist is, and I know that journalists are kind of under attack these days, and I think very unfairly, but if you're making everybody mad, if you're saying things that are both praise and criticism, you're usually doing something right. It means it's nuanced, means it's interesting. Barkley, not a journalist, has always spoken like one. He's just said things as they are. And I'm going to read you this quote on Kevin Durant from Barkley that he said this week on a conference call for a golf tournament that's dead on. Somebody said, hey, Chuck, give KD some advice. And what does Chuck always do? Praise and criticism when accurate. Said, quote, I'm not going to do my Charles Barkley imitation because you don't want to hear it. Quote, well, I'd say, Kevin, you're one of the greatest players I've ever seen. That sounds right. He goes on, you also got some of the thinnest skin I've ever seen. I don't know if you're made for New York City. I think that would be the toughest part. If he's arguing with these teenagers online, he's not going to be able to deal with the New York media. He's a great person. He's a great player. I don't think he has the mental makeup to play in New York. That's my personal opinion. This isn't new to basketball. It's not unique to Kevin Durant. F. Scott Fitzgerald was the greatest writer of the 20th century, went to Hollywood, died an alcoholic in L.A. Broke him. Perfectly wrong place. I know a lot of you don't like Kanye. Love Kanye. And he married a Kardashian. To be fair, though, anyone who gets associated with a Kardashian is a mistake, so maybe that's not a Kanye thing so much as it is a Kardashian thing. A little untoward, but John Edwards, who actually way back in the day covered a little bit when I was doing politics, was this next generation politician, and the siren song of a presidential election led to a choice, you know, not my personal approach to marriage, nor to my career. John Edwards creating a new life form with someone who wasn't his wife, allegedly part of that campaign. The point is, you can be massively talented and successful, and you can see the thing on the hill that you think is what is calling you to greatness. Hollywood. Fame, the presidency, New York City, and taking down that curse, that obstacle that all basketball players have tried to, or many have tried to surmount and not been able to do it. I get the allure for KD. And I used to be one of these guys. You know, I'm 41. I'm from Iowa. And I did not see the ocean for the first time until I was a 20-year-old. I didn't see New York City for the first time until my daughter Madeline was on the way, was close to being born when I was 31 or 32. I didn't see LA for the first time until I was 33. I'm not exactly the most worldly guy on the face of the earth. So I understand and I recognize that I probably was one of those people who doubted and didn't get and rolled their eyes at the Garden in New York as the temple of basketball. Till the first time I went to the Garden in New York, it was a life-changing experience. Hasn't been a lot of meaningful basketball in New York. I understand why that's calling to KD. It's just that he'll fail there. He won't succeed. James Dolan is the worst owner in sports by a wide margin. That organizational culture is a disaster. But more to the point, most media markets that are quote-unquote tough, Chicago is one, maybe Detroit, they're hard on you in a way that's fair. Kevin Durant has come up in some media markets that are much more sycophantic than they are grueling and grinding and controversial. I mean, Oklahoma City, and I lived there for a time. My brother was born there. I love OKC. But still, Oklahoma City's not exactly the most challenging media market on the face of the earth. And Kevin Durant was raised there to believe that any kind of criticism, any kind of insight, any kind of thing he didn't like was an affront on his dignity. Then he went to a Warriors team that is beloved in the league. Of course, people are going to criticize him. And we had Mark Medina on, but it's not like the Bay Area is bristling with wannabe Mike Roycos. They're not. You're going to get destroyed and devoured in New York City. They're not just in Chicago when they're hard on you. They're fair. In New York, they're unfair for sport. Forget like that's not fair. Of course it's not. Welcome to New York City. It is the biggest mistake the guy can make. And I'm not a KD hater. I just don't appreciate I hate the media and his fake burner accounts. You're going to accuse people like me, like Jim Rome, because that's what we are, right? The media is this wide, vast network of individuals who come from a lot of different backgrounds. You're going to call us a bunch of phony fakers who put you down for asking legitimate questions about whether or not, you know, in the contract you negotiated, you're going to exercise your player option or not. And you're going to go on fake burner accounts while talking about our phoniness and attack high school kids sitting in their living room with 37 followers. That is a level of thin-skinned insecurity that will get destroyed in New York City. Do you know what Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant equal with the Knicks? They equal the Clippers back in that Lob City day, those Lob City days. Somewhere between the 2 to the 4 seed, and every year they're going to flame out in terrific fashion before the conference finals. Kevin Durant, if you're listening, what's going on? It's Bill Ryder on the Jim Rome Show. Kevin, KD, how's it going, pal? I liked you back in the day in Oklahoma City. I don't know you now. Haven't talked to you in years. Not one-on-one. I'm a fan of your brilliance and your genius as a basketball player. Know your own limitations. Understand that New York City will bring out the worst in you, and it will make you the worst version of yourself, and that it will affect you as a basketball player, because clearly these sorts of criticisms have always gotten into your head. You are awesome at what you do, but you need a culture that's going to make you great, not that's going to feed your worst impulses. Go play for Jerry West and Doc Rivers. Jerry West is the greatest front office person in the history of basketball, which is pretty crazy when you consider the fact Jerry West is also one of the best basketball players of all time. Doc Rivers might, I don't mean this to be a put down by faint praise, this qualification. He's probably the best player-friendly coach in the NBA, and he's a much better coach than I probably have given him credit for. This past season with the Clippers showcased that. That Clippers team gave the Warriors a run for their money. Hell, Kevin, if you want to go to New York City, maybe go to Brooklyn. You know, people aren't paying as much attention. I still think you'd get devoured. I think you'd get eaten, though. Brooklyn's a little bit chiller vibe. Charles Barkley is absolutely right. If Kevin Durant makes the mistake of going to the New York Knicks, he's going to be the thing that we can measure in sports, and that's a loser. He will not win another NBA championship. He will lash out at the people around him. It will be a massive mistake. And I don't want Kevin Durant to be a Warrior. I'm over it. I'm tired of talking about the Warriors. I like going to the Bay. The first year I've been to the finals in 10 years. One of the reasons I'm not there, have no interest in going back to the same exact story again and again and again. Didn't feel like flying away from my wife and kids and frankly, the opportunity to do this show for a couple days so I could watch the Warriors do what they always do, win a game, lose a game maybe they shouldn't, tie the series, talk about how it's inevitable, be bored. If Kevin Durant were playing, snap at the media for daring to ask why he fill in the blank of something super reasonable. Don't go to New York City. It will be an utter and total disaster. It's strange how success impacts different people in different ways. And my business isn't immune from it. I won't name names, but I can remember two people when I was a columnist who were colleagues of mine who were equally talented. One of them, it's an arbitrary business. One of them got kind of washed out, not that person's fault. The other is a household name that you know now. And the household name went from being the nicest person in the world to the biggest egomaniac. You cannot believe how it changes people. I'm a nobody, right? Who am I? This guy is a somebody in our business, and he's a nobody compared to Kevin Durant or LeBron James. I understand it's easier said than done to not maybe focus on Space Jam over your Lakers team, right? Maybe not focus on all the petty slights on Twitter over that Warriors team that you joined. But you got to do your best if you're in these positions of ridiculous fame and wealth and this ivory tower that you live and you operate in, to find a place that's going to give you a little bit of self-awareness just for the sake of you as a human being, let alone as a basketball player. Kevin Durant, like all of us, is a complicated guy. Not a bad guy. Not saying he's a bad guy. Go to the New York Knicks. That might not be the same story in 2 or 3 years. KD, listen to Chuck. Don't do it. James Jones, longtime NBA sharpshooter, longtime NBA player, now the GM for the Phoenix Suns. Want to visit with him about deep runs. LeBron James is a teammate. Chris Bosh said something the other day that I thought was really interesting. I'll ask James about it. We'll have a conversation with him about that Suns team in the finals when we come back to the program. Bill Ryder filling in on the Jim Rome Show. James Jones up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Filling in. Very excited now to be joined by a gentleman who won 3 NBA championships in his distinguished career. Is now the general manager of a very exciting young Phoenix Suns team. James Jones on the show. James, thanks for making time.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me, man.
So it's been a really interesting on and off the court NBA Finals. What have you made of the series so far?
I mean, man, that's the NBA Finals, man. The healthiest team normally wins. And, you know, there's been some great performances on both sides. It's been thrilling. But I think we're seeing just how tough it is to win a title. Just the physical demands are unbelievable.
Yeah, James, I was talking to Chris Bosch, obviously, who you know about this, a couple days ago, Isaiah Thomas, about just their run with the Pistons when they won two in a row. And both guys made the point that sometimes the casual fan and media member, and even players who haven't advanced that deep, don't realize the toll of back-to-back extra months, year after year after year. You're a guy that's familiar with that. How much do you think, or not, the Warriors' own success and the, I think it's 112 now extra games they've played in the postseason the last 5 years is having an impact?
I mean, I think you see it. You can't really appreciate just how hard it is to play one playoff game, but imagine, 120 plus extra games. That team, those guys have, they're on an unbelievable run. The fact that they are still standing at this point is, you have to commend them for it. But you can see it just takes a toll physically, mentally. Playing 10 months out of the year, 5-6 years straight, it's hard. But I think they're champions, and it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back in Game 4.
Phoenix Suns GM James Jones here on the show. James, obviously you guys have a nice young core in place already. You have some decisions to make in the NBA draft. When you look at what is going on around the NBA, whether it's the Warriors' approach, what the Raptors are due, do you try to formulate, okay, this is what I'm seeing in the NBA and this is how I want to build my team? Or is it as simple as we're going to get the best players that we can and then we're going to build from there?
I mean, we're going to try to look at the best teams and see what they do and kind of blend it. I do believe you have to acquire players when you can, guys that will take you over the top. But you have to be very diligent in building a foundation and building a team. You want to build a great team that can sustain the challenges, especially being in the Western Conference. Every night's a challenge, and every year teams retool. So we'll try to build around and with our young core, our young guys, Devin and DeAndre, and if we can supplement them with good talent, good character, and good competitors, I think we'll see the success that we're looking for.
James Jones here on the show. You guys are drafting clearly not where you were hoping those ping pong balls would bounce, but you're drafting at 6. And I had visited with DeAndre Ayton on a TV show that I host that day and asked him what he thought the team needed. And he said, I'd love us to go and get a point guard with whatever our top pick is. Does that feel like the priority as you go through the tape and you go through the process of trying to figure out who's going to be the right fit for the Phoenix Suns?
I mean, going into the draft, I think we have a bunch of priorities. One is to get a player that complements those guys. And two, to get someone that fits what we do. DeAndre, he's a big guy. Of course he wants a point guard. He wants someone to pass him the ball. But understanding that's his desire. Our goal is to build a great team, and that comes with getting multiple good players. So if that's a point guard, great. If it's another player, great. I think if you look at our team, coming off of 19 wins, there are a lot of holes that we need to fill. And I believe at 6, there'll be a good player across multiple positions that can help us.
James Jones here on the show. James, I was lucky enough to cover that Heat team back in that first year that LeBron and Chris and Dwayne were there, that collection, that talented group. And so I had the chance to talk to Chris Bosch a couple days ago. And, there's obviously there's always news around LeBron James. You know this, his teammate for a long time, and talk about whether he's going to be a Laker or not. And I know you can't speak to that, of course, but I asked Chris, what kind of a teammate LeBron was, and he went on a very, very impassioned and just smart soliloquy for 4 minutes about how great of a teammate LeBron is if you're just willing to accept LeBron's greatness and just evolve with LeBron and take in all the good stuff. In your experience with LeBron James, can you give us some insight from your perspective on what he's like as a teammate, and for those guys lucky enough to play with him, what is the key when you were there playing with him multiple times to having some success with that level of a talent?
Well, you just have to trust that everything that he does it because he wants to win. I mean, he's driven by greatness, and he's ultra-competitive. But if you're a player that goes in trying to prove yourself and prove how competitive you are and prove that, you have the answers, you'll struggle because the sign of being a great teammate is taking the burden off of your teammates. And if you just buy into that, if that means you work just as hard as he does, that means if you accept that, he's going to be aggressive and that he is going to step in front of, we always say, step in front of the train for you. If you can appreciate that, he'll cover you. And I mean that, cover you in every way, from personally if you need anything, professionally, you know, whatever he has access to, you have access to, if that's the best technology, if that's the best training insights, if that's the best recovery, the skill development, everything that he has, he gives to his teammates if you'll just accept that he's the leader. And, you know, whenever you're the guy that plays the most minutes, takes the biggest burden, carries the heaviest load, and you perform night in and night out and you carry your team to championships, you deserve that respect. And if you give it to him, he'll give it to you tenfold.
James Jones here on the show. James, you played for a long time in the association. You won 3 NBA championships. You played in Miami and Cleveland at the end of your career. What's been the biggest surprise or the biggest challenge going from being a guy that impacts the game on the floor to being a general manager who's putting together a plan, but obviously it's the guys you bring in that will control the actual outcome?
The biggest challenge is not falling in love with the visual and thinking deeper. You know, it's hard sometimes not to be excited about a skill set, about a highlight, about flashy plays. It's tougher to be disciplined and rely and focus on things like competitiveness and character and, you know, adversity, how guys respond to adversity. So, you know, the highlight is the biggest struggle because you have to kind of trust your judgment. You have to trust your discipline when you're talking about adding players or, you know, making changes to your team, to your roster, to your philosophy.
All right, James Jones, I know you got to run. Last question for you. Best guess, who do you think wins this NBA Finals?
I don't know. I mean, if injuries continue to play a part, I think Toronto, with their veterans and their guys who are all primed for one last push, I think, you know, they'll have some success. But I wouldn't bet against the Warriors if any one of their guys, KD or Klay, if they're able to go.
James Jones, a pleasure talking to you. Congrats on the continued success and what is in store for you and the Suns. Appreciate the time here on the Jim Rome Show.
All right, thanks, Bill. Take care.
Thanks, James. James Jones on the program. I always I always get a kick out of – I enjoy having guys on from those Heat teams. Chris Bosch a couple days ago on the show that I host at 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific, Writers Block on CBS Sports HQ, and James just now, because my first year in Miami covering the Heat, I was a columnist, and I was merciless to LeBron. I mean, it was – I look back at those columns, and I stand by them. But, man, that was some mean stuff that I wrote. And normally when you cover a team, and I've covered teams in the NFL and the NBA, and I've done spring training, but when you're around a team for an extended period of time, you get to know guys, right? You would have a rapport with James Jones or Chris Bosh. You would know them. My experience in Miami, it's the only place, and I love those guys, and Tim Donovan, the PR guy, is a good dude. We were just Fox and the Hound at the time. But then they would have an intern. I can still see his face. I could not walk up to a player and ask him a question in the locker room without an intern being attached to my side with a microphone, which was a silent message. He is the enemy. Do not trust him. And so all those Heat guys outside of LeBron, who, for better or worse, certainly knew who I was at the time, I know all those guys that I know from later in my career when I wasn't covering the Heat. I should have asked him. Like, come on, bro. Do you remember? I'm sure he probably remembers me as the guy that wrote the really mean things about LeBron. Never had a one-on-one conversation with a single player in that Heat organization, in that Heat locker room. And it's interesting how many of those guys have and I think will go on to success. That Heat culture, I think different than the Cavs, was a really impressive culture, really impressive group. And appreciate James Jones making some time on the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder, filling in for Jim, going to keep talking some NBA. Love to hear from you. 1-800-636-8686. Whatever you want to talk about, we'll take some calls and close out the show when we come back to the program. Welcome back into the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder filling in. We were just telling tales about this business, this radio business is something, man. The people you meet are the best and the worst. I'm sure there's people that are somewhere in between. I just haven't met them yet. But I'm sure they're out there. And just the characters, it's very cool to be filling in. I'm very appreciative. Thank you to Adam Hawk and Adam DeLauro and James Kelly for making it really, really easy and, as always, really fun. Thank you to Tom DeCelestino back in New York City for his perspective and his help. We on my show used to do a segment called What to Sell with Tom's incredibly, incredibly bad NBA takes, but Tom won't share his takes anymore. So I'm hoping this public shaming will get him to loosen up. And Stuart Kovacs, the executive producer of my show, Writer Than You, here on CBS Sports Radio, thanks to him. And I know he had a really big Harley Davidson rally today that he skipped to be part of the show. Stu's not wearing the leather or the spikes or the bikes, but he's on Twitter, Stuart Kovacs CBS, but at Spikes and Bikes is his private Twitter handle, and I see he dressed a little more casual today, as I see on CBS Sports Network. Stu, you can bring the spikes. I know it's not a choke chain, but I don't know what it is with the thing. You can do you on the Jim Rome Show. Be comfortable in your own skin. It's all good. I'm Bill Ryder, and clones, don't forget, you know, Smack Off 25 is proudly presented by our friends at Vivid Seats. And this year, Vivid Seats is giving every Smack Off caller that makes in the air on June 21st $50 towards the purchase of tickets on VividSeats.com or the Vivid Seats app. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. Download the Vivid Seats app or visit VividSeats.com. Man, the Smack Off. I can remember one of the moments, the most trouble I ever got in with my wife, with Lori, was in Kansas City, Missouri, when I was a newspaper reporter there. I might have been a columnist at the time. I don't remember. And I had some obligation that I promised him that I would do. I had to go back to the house. We lived in like an apartment building downtown, underground garage. You can open so you can get a radio signal. I had to go up and get something, bring it back down, and I don't take it to her. And I'm driving home. I'm off that day. Or I'm a writer, so I have like weird hours. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's a Smack Off tonight. I totally forgot. I'll just listen for a couple minutes. I sat in that garage for 3 hours knowing that I would be sleeping on the couch for at least 3 weeks as my phone was like, where is this? Are you bringing that? Where are you? And I just pulled the old, you know what? I'm turning the phone off. And I couldn't pull away. It is amazing. It's the best thing. It is the best thing in radio. And I used to not be a very organized person. So there'd be years where I'd be like just chilling, doing my thing, and somebody like, dude, it's a Smack Off. Are you going to listen? Now I've got the old Google Calendar. It's on there. It's bookmarked. No guest book. I'd love you to check it out. In fact, I'm on today. I'm going to run out of here and run to the studio over on CBS Sports HQ, which is CBS Sports' pretty new 24-hour streaming sports network. You can check it out on Apple TV, Roku, the app, all those places. And I'm interviewing Deshaun Watson today, which is cool. It's kind of exciting. Deshaun comes on every 3 or 4 months, friend of the show, and 5 Eastern again, 2 Pacific. In doing that, I have these morning interviews, you know, whenever guys are available, and I have the Smack Off. Just, it is a straight, and if my TV producers are listening and you see on the calendar Bill unavailable, this is the reason. I'm going to be listening to the Smack Off, and I apologize for making your life a little more difficult. Loving being here, loving filling in. Whether you love it or not, you're stuck with me tomorrow. I will be back filling in for Jim. Jim back on Monday. And again, Twitter handle, SportsRiter, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. If you want to give us a call, as always, the phone number 1-800-636-8686. The email for Jim is rome@haveatake.com. Jim, of course, on Twitter at Jim Rome, jimrome.com. I want to do this tomorrow. I actually have an answer, and I've done a bunch of research and made a bunch of calls. So I'll sort of tease it out this way. I don't buy the notion that the Warriors dynasty is necessarily coming to an end because they're down 2-1 in a series in which Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant are going to return. It seems to me that echo chamber talk, maybe a little early, a little overwrought. But certainly, if Kevin Durant leaves, the ability for the Warriors to maintain and continue and extend their dynasty, if possible, is going to be a lot harder and a lot less likely. And at some point, and I'm pretty sure about this, Tom Brady's actually going to age and stop playing football for the Patriots. And I was trying to think about which organization, which team in professional sports is going to be in 3 years or 5 years or 10 years, that annoying dynasty that you either love because it's your team and they just dominate, or we're tired of talking about and seeing. I think I have an answer. Think about it. We'd love to get your perspective tomorrow here on the Jim Rome Show, 1-800-636-8686. Think I know who it is, but I want to make a few more calls to a few more GMs around various sports that I know. I don't know that I'm a Steph Curry fan. I don't know that that's the proper term, but I have maintained and believed for all the years that these last few years that Durant has been a part of the Warriors, that Steph is the better player, in part because he's the better teammate. And it just sometimes I feel like in a variety of ways that we're in some weird alternate. We just veered off to Earth 1032, and there's all these weird things happening that aren't happening anywhere else. The notion that it's taken for granted, that it's automatically assumed that Kevin Durant's the better player on that Warriors team, I honestly don't understand it. I understand KD's talent. I get it. But before he arrived with that Warriors team, he lost to that Warriors team. And they were up 3-1. I mean, if Kevin Durant is the best player on this Golden State squad, they win that series. He played really bad basketball, especially in what could have been a closeout game in Oklahoma City. And the more that I think about Steph, the more I marvel at his willingness to subjugate his ego in the service of winning basketball games. That is just counterintuitive to how the game works. To become a Hall of Famer, to become a wealthy person as an NBA player, to become great, just become a pro, you're not spending most of your time normally saying, how do I make my high school teammates better? How do I make my college teammates better? How do I make my D-League teammates better if you're stuck in that league for a while? I guess it's G-League now, isn't it? I hate it. Cool, G-League. Steph Curry is the reaction, the counter-reaction, the opposite of great players like Kobe Bryant. Like, I don't think Kyrie Irving's a great player, but like Kyrie Irving, like Russell Westbrook, like James Harden. Steph's the guy that has spent the last few years scoring fewer points, taking fewer shots. And his greatness has always been sort of coded in the analytics, hidden in the data. If you look at Steph's per 36-minute numbers when he's not on the floor with Kevin Durant, when Durant's off the floor, they're through the roof, which tells us that last night's 47-point, 8-rebound, 7-assist flurry of offensive brilliance and ridiculousness, it wasn't a misnomer. It wasn't a one-off. It wasn't a surprise. It wasn't a return. It was just, uh-oh, there's no Kevin Durant and there's no Klay. I guess I got to go be really, really stupid amazing. 14 of 31 is a pretty good night. 6 of 14 from the three-point line is just fine. But the fact that he can do that after years of hibernation in terms of that kind of volume shooting, that's incredible. 47 points, more points than Kevin Durant's ever scored in the finals game. KD's high was last year against Cleveland in game 3. He scored 43. It's only 3 points shy of the most points that KD's ever scored, ever, in the postseason. He scored 15 earlier this year against a tough Clippers team. Steph Curry is the best player on that team. After LeBron James, he's the second best player in the game. And I don't understand why we don't see it and we don't recognize it and we don't give him the credit for it. I like to do a little bit of sports betting and a whole lot of poker, which, you know, Hawk plays tennis and poker. I'm going to have to find a way to get some time with him so he can kick my behind at both of those things. Certainly the poker thing's weird, too, because I went to Vegas a few weeks ago with my brother, right? Maybe 3 weeks ago to play in a tournament. Best decision ever made was taking 10% of my brother. My brother plays a lot. I don't. Bobby in Denver. And it was a pretty big guarantee. It's like a $400 buy-in guarantee of 150 grand. I got run after about 12 hours. I played fine. My brother finished fourth and won, I think, $15,000 or $16,000. So what I'm going to do is I'm gonna set up. We're going to do a Vegas trip, and I'm going to try to lure Hawk there so he can tell his wife, like, hey, sweetie, I don't really want to go, but it's for work. The guy occasionally fills in on Jim's show. Just feel like from a professional perspective, it's – I mean, I don't know if – would she buy that at all? Can you sell that?
Absolutely. And thank you for working that angle, Bill. That is amazing of you. I'm all about that. Please put that together.
Don't worry. I just found out that Lori was listening to the show until about 5 minutes ago. Now she's not listening. I'm pulling the same angle. Baby, I don't want to go. I don't want to go to Vegas.
It's for work.
Adam's a nice guy, but I see enough of him, you know, every 2 months when I fill in, but he's insisting that I go. And if I want to keep doing the Jim Rome show, it's part of the deal. Yeah, I'm a bit of a gambler. And my point is that I'm a better poker player than I'm a sports better, but I've done okay in the NBA this year. I would say an uncomfortable amount of money on the Warriors in game two. Right now, that series is dead even in terms of the odds. You can get both the Warriors and that Raptors team at minus 110. And some of that uncertainty is because of what is going to happen to Klay and what's going to happen to KD. If I wasn't convinced, and I am convinced, but if I wasn't convinced the Warriors are going to win game 4, I would wait. If the Warriors go down 3-1 in the series, and you can get a number that's plus 180 or plus 200 or plus 210, I'm telling you, that is where the smart money absolutely rests. That's where you need to go. Because the real differential, the actual reason that this Warriors team lost last night isn't because Klay Thompson didn't play. It has nothing to do with it. Steph Curry just was Klay Thompson on top of himself. He scored 47. He and Klay scored 48 in game two of that win. It's not because KD didn't play, which is not to say that if Klay plays, they're going to win. They're more likely to win. If Kevin Durant and Klay play, they're going to win. But that's having them as a guarantee is not the same thing as a necessity. A necessity means that it's almost an impossibility if they don't. That's not true. The Warriors played terrible defense. Draymond Green, who's having a career postseason, is played terrible defense. Andre Iguodala, and the game's going to catch up to you, played terrible defense. And it is a huge missed opportunity. Oracle Arena, which if you've never been, you're never going to get the chance unless you plan to go to game four or go, if there is a game six, to game six. Oracle, it's an all-time place to watch a basketball game with the Warriors doing what they're doing. And they're never going to have basketball there again. That crowd is so out of control. It should offer an incredible amount of help to that team and that defense. I mean, hell, you've got owners pushing. Although, I don't know. Can we really say that the partial owner of the Warriors pushed Kyle Lowry? I've watched that clip. James put the clip on for me, James Kelly, maybe 11 times. And I'm still not. He definitely grabbed the jersey. Not a smart move. And I understand that uber billionaire rich guys who own portions of a team like the Warriors are probably not accustomed to being told they can't do something. I'm sure that they walk around whatever their sort of orbit in their world is, like they own the place. I guess at Oracle, he literally owns a portion of the place. So it was obnoxious. I'm not defending the guy, but the whole Kyle Lowry. In fact, I think Lowry actually talked about after the game the fact that it's ridiculous and it's got to stop. I mean, come on, man. You dove into a crowd and some, and I don't know if he was drinking or not, but they do happen to sell this thing called alcohol at games. And there's some adrenaline going. Reminds me of Bartman. I'm a Cubs fan. Am I happy back in the day that Bartman did that? No, but there's just this reaction where you just reach out for the ball or a guy jumps into you and you kind of grab at his jersey and come on, let it go. Gonna ban the guy for life? A, rich people don't get punished. Like, I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm just saying he owns a part of the Warriors. It's probably not going to go that direction. But that moment, and I don't even know who it was. I think it was actually the actual owner's wife getting into Beyonce's personal space. And Beyonce doing, I'm not going to lie, I missed that. I saw this morning. Beyonce doing the turn where she's body languaged away, but there's all this anger going the other direction. Okay, I understand it. But that, I love that energy. I love the, there's so much anger and angst and energy and real sadness. I mean, Oracle going away. The new arena is going to be cool. It's going to be for people like me who travel to these games sometimes for work and a lot easier to get to. It's going to be this gleaming example of wealth and basketball success, but it's not going to be Oracle. It's not going to be this spot. And you're talking about, you know, Green Bay, Wisconsin is one of those places that has this incredible emotional connection between the place where their team plays and the fan base. People hand down generationally the ability to buy tickets. It's a family affair. Same thing is absolutely true for Oracle Arena. You have people that have been going there since they were kids with their parents, with their grandparents, and that's coming to an end. And the Golden State Warriors owe their fan base a better goodbye than playing Olay garbage defense. It was an embarrassment, and it's the reason they lost the game. And they're going to respond in kind. In fact, already I saw Golden State open as six and a half point favorites. And I almost like the Warriors of that number. We don't know who's playing, who's not. Really great being on the show. Thank you to Mark Medina for being here, San Jose Mercury News reporter. Thank you to Reed Forgrave, CBS Sports HQ. We just heard from James Jones, longtime NBA player, and obviously the general manager of the Phoenix Suns. Thanks to the guys here. And thank you, clones, for letting me do this, for your kindnesses and your lack of kindness on Twitter. Whatever. I'm glad you're listening. My name is Bill Ryder, filming for Jim here on the Jim Rome Show. I will be back tomorrow hanging out on CBS Sports Network and CBS Sports Radio.